Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into DMVR Buffs Live. My name is Jake Schwanitz. Joining me today, my buddy Ryan Konigsberg. We are presented by the American Raptors. Head on over to AmericanRaptors.com. Get a ticket to one of their rugby games or stream their matches. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. I'm doing better than our studio here, which is slowly but surely being ravaged for a new studio downstairs. Yes. It's like one door opens, another door closes.
Exactly. The studio is even getting the call up these days.
Yes.
someone who may be getting the call down, actually, and who we're going to start talking about the show today is Matt Rhule, fired by the Panthers on Monday. I can't remember exactly where he was in our tier list. I know he was in the upper half. He wasn't one of those C or F tier guys. So the question begs to be asked then, could Matt Rhule be the answer for the Buffs?
Yes. The answer to that question of could he be the answer for the Buffs, the answer is yes. Is he the answer?
Yes.
Is he the top guy? I think a lot of I feel like the national narrative is Matt Rhule, if you can have him, you got to take him.
Right.
And I could be just way off on this, but I just don't feel that strongly about it. Like, should be the top candidate. If he wants to take the job, it's his to lose. Kind of like the dream job. It's kind of funny because that's exactly the way Matt Rhule was described when he was hired by the Panthers, right? You know, everyone wanted him. I think the Giants were really, you know, hot on the trail. David Tepper came in and was like, you write your own check. It ended up being maybe... I said the second worst coach contract in NFL history, only behind John Gruden.
Right.
So maybe I'm just letting recency bias get to me here. Is like he looked so out of his depth in the NFL, and I realized so did Nick Saban once upon a time. But the luster has worn off for me.
As you mentioned, these college coaches can have a tough time kind of translating. But the other factor I think that really contributed to his demise in Carolina, he never had a quarterback, man. I mean, he never really had a chance to kind of get it rolling there. Do you give him the benefit of the doubt from that perspective at all?
I pretty much give every coach the benefit of the doubt in the NFL that doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, fair.
The thing is, there are signs. For example, Kyle Shanahan, you know, like you saw him with Nick Mullins make that team look respectable. It was Nick Mullins who was playing against the Broncos when George Kittle almost set the tight end receiving yard in the first half. So certain coach can make quarterbacks look better, and I'm not sure that's what Matt Rhule did at all. You could maybe make the case that he made him look worse.
Right.
So, again, I do give a pass for that type of stuff. And also, I think we just have to stop the whole, like, college coaches going to the NFL. When's the last time that even worked?
I mean,
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll, but he was a retread.
Right. He had already done the NFL, come back to the NFL. We got to stop trying that. It's just simply not working. Like, someone's going to end up throwing a wheelbarrow of money at Lincoln Riley one day, and I'm just like,
right.
The evidence is telling you not to do this. So I give him a pass there. I realize he could just go right back into college and just start killing it again. But I'm not as blown away by him as others. You have to look at what he did for Baylor. You have to look at what he did for Temple and say that's a really impressive turnaround. And I think he could do it here. There's just something missing for me, and I honestly wish I could do a better job of describing it other than it doesn't feel like he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some stink on him just after what's gone on in Carolina. But also I think the thing that needs to be thought about just with him in Colorado specifically, I mean, he coached at Temple, he coached at Baylor. Coaching at Colorado, that's another different area of the country. I mean, he's got ties on the East Coast in Texas. I mean, you want to recruit Texas well for this next Buffs head coach, of course. But is that concerning at all? This guy has never really coached on the West Coast, never really in the Pac-12. I guess you could say in the Big 12 because of Baylor, of course, but it was only two quick years.
Yep.
Can it work for him being in his third sort of area of the country in his third job in college?
Maybe I undervalue the whole area thing. I'm not too worried about it. Like, of all the things that, you know, you look for in a coach, like, I'm seeing people want head coach experience. They want experience in the West Coast. They want him to be a certain age. Of all of them, that's probably the second least of my worries. Number one is age. I just don't think the Buffs are in a position right now to, like, care how old a coach is.
Right, I agree.
Just get a coach. Mm-hmm. And if he's, like, make sure he's good. I don't care if he's 61, 71, 81. Obviously, there's no coaches that old. But, like, if they come in here and win for 4 years and then retire, I'm happy.
Right.
Win for 2 years for all I care. Find a way to get this program moving in the right direction. That's all I care about. And the other one, maybe I'm off. But I don't think the area thing, like, can you recruit or not? Can you sell a program or not? He clearly can. And he's done a good job at least of surrounding himself with people who can. And I think that's one of the big reasons why I'm looking at a lot of current head coaches.
Right.
Is just, or former head coaches, I guess you could say, is just, I feel like those guys will know, okay, I don't have connections in this area, so I got to bring in someone who does. Little things like that, rather than just like, oh, I should hire my buddy to be the offensive coordinator because that'll be fun. And you think that sounds crazy, just look at the Broncos.
Right. Yeah.
Coaches do that. A lot of first-time coaches are like, I think I can do this my way. Now, it's not a recruiting thing with the Broncos, obviously, but it's one thing that a lot of people get wrong.
Well said. Regardless of who the next coach is, they're going to have to deal with some restrictions that Colorado currently has in the transfer portal. It's something that's been talked about quite a lot on social media. We had Rick George and the Chancellor DiStefano talk about it in that press conference after they fired Durrell and promoted Mike Sanford. You have found an interesting article in the previous few days that kind of talks about Colorado specifically and these restrictions that they put on themselves, essentially, in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I won't get too into the weeds. This is a great article at seeyouatthegame.com. Mm-hmm. Stuart has been doing this for a long time. Really cool site, honestly. He's like gives his recap of all of the most legendary games. And once in a while, when the Buffs piss him off enough, he writes out like a good old column. And he just nailed this one. He called it 5 Hours of Hope because he basically talked about the 5 hours between when they fired Carl Durrell and when Chancellor DiStefano got on the stage and said what he had to do about transfers. And the question is essentially like, what are the Buffs going to do, or are the Buffs going to do anything to change the fact that they can't get transfers in? He mentions in the article, I think it was Adam Munstertiger, who said that this current coaching staff brought them 11 wide receivers to try and transfer in, and only 4 of them were cleared. It's just like one of the many things. So here's what DiStefano said. I don't think it's a matter of altering any of the rules and policies. I believe you can have excellent academics and excellent student athletes coming together. They are not mutually exclusive. On the transfer piece, it's just based upon the degrees we offer and the way that the faculty own the curriculum. They own the degrees when a student wants to transfer. For example, we do not have physical education here. And we do not have general education here. And to be honest, that's not going to change, he said. What we must do is go and recruit those student athletes coming from junior colleges, which you have to be so out of touch, who can play for us and transfer in the credits. It may take a little bit more work, but I have confidence in our coaches to be able to do that. I mean, we've brought in transfers, and that has worked, and I think we will continue to bring in transfers. It's just the transfers must have the transfer credits that will transfer. It's a lot of transfer in one sentence. talking about JUCO as your transfer pipeline in 2022 is like you're telling on yourself. You're telling on yourself that you don't understand the current climate. And I realize that the institution is a lot greater than football, right? And you can't, you know, just do all these things to appease the football program. Mm. At the same time, let's be honest. I am a graduate of Colorado. My degree does not carry water in the sense of blowing people away that I went to the University of Colorado. It is not a shining Harvard of the West. You know, like, it is a good public university in Colorado. It's the best in Colorado. But we're not, you know, running some sort of academic... no one is recognizing Colorado for their academics. Just, I'm just being honest. And so making these changes that not only... will, yes, of course, make a little bit of difference to the overall student body, but will make a massive difference to your football program, which also is the single greatest window into your university. It's just that's been proven over and over again. Right. Football gets eyes on the school. Mm-hmm. And sports do, really. Like, people remember Florida Gulf Coast, the Dunk City run in March Madness.
Right.
Their admissions or their applications went up like 1,000% after that, because remember they're like showing clips on March Madness of like the dorms are on the beach. And people are like, oh my God, this place looks amazing. So sports are such a massive window into your university. And making a slight change to the degrees that you offer, the classes that you offer, or even simply just making a change to the credits that you accept, and you know, and making it a lot easier for people to get credits over, would make such a massive difference to your football program that it's just a no-brainer. It really is. Again, we aren't Stanford. We're not Harvard. We're not Northwestern. We're not even Vanderbilt. We're Colorado, and that's okay. We're a very good public university, and we don't need to pretend like we're this great academic institution. And the only other two schools that have this strict of policies when it comes to this are Stanford and Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. We're nowhere in that. We're not even close to that class. So let's be honest with where we are. We need to make massive changes to this and make it a lot easier for the next coach to get transfer credits in. And the last thing before I let you talk is that I'm counting on the next coach to string them along all the way to the signing table. You're there. You're ready to sign the contract. And you just say one more thing. I need a promise in here that we're going to make it easier for people to transfer in here. Mm-hmm. And that's how essentially how Jeff Bezdelic got a new basketball facility built, which was a huge gateway to Tad Boyle's success at Colorado. And, you know, Mike McIntyre also demanded new facilities when he signed his contract. So take them all the way to the row. I don't care if it's Matt Rhule or my guy Kurt Cignetti, whoever it is, get them all the way down, have them decided on you. You be the guy, and then pull that out of them in the last second and say, I need you to promise this, and hold their feet to the fire. It's a huge first step in this program coming back.
Really well said. I mean, it's kind of a day of reckoning for all colleges at this point. You got to be honest with yourself, know who you are, and basically adapt and survive in this new climate of college football. I talked to Darian Hagan today, and you know, I asked him, how can this university kind of get back to where everyone wants it to be? And he gave a pretty interesting answer and talked basically about what you were just talking about. He said, I think the writing's on the wall. Colorado needs to be like everyone else in the country. Everyone has everyone has NIL deals. Everyone has different things they do as far as admissions. I think we need to, if we want to get back to where we want to be, you know, winning championships and having a good caliber football team, we need to be on an even playing field with everyone. And as I mentioned when we kind of let off, that's, I mean, social media is ablaze right now because of that. A lot of people are talking about that. It's just something that really can't be avoided. And that's a great point, what you said with the coach all the way to the dotted line. I mean, that's really, someone has to force the hand at this point.
Of course. And it's not going to be the Regents, and it's obviously not going to be DeStefano. And I don't think Rick George, you know, has enough pull with the university, the overarching university, to get it done. So someone has to do it, and they got to do it fast, really fast. One more note here. The transfers that CU has gotten recently, 2020, Jack Lamb, mm-hmm. graduate transfer. Robert Barnes, graduate transfer. Max Ray, graduate transfer. Again, this is all from the article on CUatthegame.com. 2021, Ramon Jefferson, graduate transfer, didn't even come. Josh Chandler Semedo, graduate transfer. Chance Main, graduate transfer. Tommy Brown, graduate transfer. RJ Sneed, graduate transfer. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
JT Shrout, Maddox Kopp, those are two regular transfers they were able to get. And he notes in here that Shrout had to take 18 hours in his first semester to stay eligible.
That's insane.
And good on JT for getting it done.
Yeah.
18 hours, I
I never did 18 hours, man.
Neither did I. I hardly did 15.
Yeah.
Until I had to.
Right.
So it is such a massive problem, and it's really one of those things that should be an easy fix.
Mm-hmm.
It really should be as simple as, we're putting ourselves behind the eight ball here. What are we gaining from this?
Yep.
It's nothing. You're not gaining anything. Because, again, we have to be real with who we are. No one is viewing the University of Colorado on the same plane as Stanford and Vanderbilt or any of those places. So, in the fact that Northwestern doesn't even have these types of restrictions should be a real look in the mirror moment. What are you gaining from this? You're not. You're gaining nothing.
All we can do is hope at this point. Shout out to DraftKings, though, official sports betting partner of the NFL. Who would you think that DraftKings would have as the odds-on favorite to be the Buffs head coach right now if they did have odds for this?
Wow, great question. I think that they would put the favorite as Eric Bieniemy.
Really?
Now, they would be way off.
They would be.
But I think that that's who they would put as the favorite.
That plus money still, you think? Plus?
Yes, heavy 200? Plus money.
Oh, really?
Heavy. Yeah, I don't think there would be any like odds on favorite. I think you'd start at like plus 500. And that's why they don't have it, because they don't have enough of a beat on it to know who it is. Maybe, actually, I take it back. Ryan Walters, I think they would put as the favorite. Mm,
that's a good one. Gary Patterson would be up there too. Maybe DraftKings will get on these at some point, but not today. They have plenty of deals going on, though. They have the stepped-up same-game parlays. Hank and I made a fun one last Thursday on the Broncos game. Didn't really do too well, but it was fun nonetheless. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, shout out to Athletic Greens. I've started taking Athletic Greens in the morning, just part of my daily routine. It's been really refreshing to have that just nice burst of vitamins and minerals into your body. 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/buffs. Again, athleticgreens.com/buffs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
A lot of people say that like they make the bed in the morning because they feel like they need to start the day with like a dub. I bet Marissa does that. Yep. If you start your day with Athletic Greens, I'm not a bed maker, so that's my dub. But even 100%. If you are a bed maker, then you start the day with two dubs.
Oh, just yeah.
Two things. You're like, I did two good things by, you know, 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. whenever you pop up.
Absolutely. Nothing but dubs with Athletic Greens. Shout out to those guys. All right, let's kind of get into this football team in its current state. Obviously, a bit in transition, of course, with Mike Sanford being the interim head coach. But there's still a lot of factors at play as we head into this Cal game. We've heard a lot about the defense. It's been pretty bad, to put it lightly, to this point. With Gerald Chapman at the helm, a lot of talk about playing simple, sound, and fast defense.
What a concept.
Yeah, novel concept. They're going up against one of the best rushers in the Pac-12 this weekend, though, in Jaden Ott. Before, so Cal was on bye last weekend with the Buffs. Before that bye, he was the leading rusher in the Pac-12. He was passed up by Travis Dye, Charbonnet, and Xavier Valade at Arizona State this last week. My question to you, Ryan, can we expect the run defense to be anything more than what we've seen so far? And can the Buffs become a better tackling football team over 2 weeks?
Can we expect them to be anything better? Yes. How much better? Not enough. I think that you can expect them to be a little bit better at fitting the run.
Mm-hmm.
The two problems, and you did a great job outlining this in a film room, but to just simplify it, guys are in the wrong place, one. And when they finally get to the right place, they aren't making the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can fix the in the wrong place thing a bit. A lot of it is instinct. Nate Landman was incredible at this. He just knew where the running back was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these guys, it doesn't matter who it is. It really doesn't. Just committing themselves so early on the play, getting washed out by an offensive lineman. And by the time the running back is where the linebacker started the play, they've disappeared. They're gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're completely invisible because they've been covered up by an offensive lineman. So I really do think simplifying things, making it a little more read and react, which is what linebackers should do in the first place,
right,
will help. But I don't think you can fix tackling in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's something that that's kind of just a whole offseason project and a complete like mentality and instilled by the coaching yep. staff from the get-go thing. We'll see if there's much impact. In terms of the run defense, though, love what you said about how easy it is to just see this team. I mean, these guys are sometimes in position, but sometimes they're just completely way off. With this simple defense, though, I have seen or heard a lot more confidence among these guys being able to be in the right spot. So we'll see if that's able to hold on. There is another factor, though. I mean, Cal, we don't know. We haven't heard. They were on bye last week. Jack Plummer, their quarterback, though, did not finish the game. I can't remember who they played last. I want to say it wasn't Arizona. The Buffs played Arizona. Regardless, he didn't finish the game. You may be getting a backup quarterback, though. Next question, though. We've seen some rhythm forming with this offense in terms of the running backs. Deion Smith and Anthony Hankerson really came on last week against Arizona 2 weeks ago. Who do you think leads them this week, and can those two guys really manufacture some momentum with this offense to see some genuine improvement?
Yes. I really think that when a coaching change happens, the coach is really able to take inventory. Like the new guy,
mm-hmm.
he has no choice but to simplify, right? But when in simplifying, what Mike Sanford is going to do is just simply look, what do we do well? How do we do it more? What do they do well? They run the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
At least they run the ball better than they do anything else on offense. And I think your article was like something along the lines of, can the running backs give this, or they're aiming to give this offense an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is if you look around the country, teams that don't have quarterbacks in college football are just going run, run, pass on every single series. Now, I'm not saying that is the strategy, but it's crazy to me when I watch that. And then I think back to the way the Buffs approached their situation for the first half of the season, which was just like, well, we're just going to run our offense like we do have a quarterback pre Owen McCown,
mm-hmm, right,
and see what happens. And there was times when they were running the ball well, and then they got away from it because they're like trying to work in some play action pass that the quarterback wasn't capable of making. So I think what Mike Sanford is going to do is say, okay, I have a much better quarterback now. So I can work in RPO, a lot of that stuff that they were, you know, starting to get to with Owen.
Right.
And I should also just run the ball way more. And I think that is going to end up being this team's identity, is get yourself into third and manageable. How many times have we seen that this year?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a lot. So Owen McCown can do a lot of things for you on third and manageable. He can make a play with his feet. He can scramble around a little bit and throw, you know, he can throw a good slant ball. Like, you get yourself to third and four, the whole playbook is there for you. Where the Buffs don't have the talent to overcome is 3rd and 11. It's just not an option for them. Like, they don't have a wide receiver that you can just toss it up to. Though Arias has been better this year. They don't have the offensive line to block it up to give you time for that. Like, 3rd and 11 just can't happen.
Right.
So lean on those guys. They've done a really good job running outside, inside zone out of the shotgun.
Yeah.
Stay with it.
Yeah, especially when they spread them out in those situations. I mean, something that was talked about last week when we spoke to Clay Patterson when he was introduced as the offensive coordinator, he talked about the intermediate passing game. Not like the explosive element of the passing game, but, you know, those plays that you can run on first down that just immediately give you another first down, put you into 2nd and 1. Maybe you gain 15 yards on one of these plays. That's not something we've seen from this offense at all. I mean, you can't they haven't been able to afford to be aggressive on those early downs, but we also haven't really seen much from a scheme standpoint of really trying to attack those areas of the field. So I think we can expect to see a little bit more of that. Mike Sanford was adamant on complementary football, though. I mean, makes sense. Running backs are the strength on this offense. Final question before we get into picking games.
Really quick, just on the first down stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
So they've had a bit of success with the quick and short passing game with Odin McCown. The problem is he doesn't get it out there very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's costing them. I wonder if they can maybe find something in running those plays to the short side where Odin McCown doesn't have to throw it 30 yards to get it over to that bubble. Like, Run it, get the ball on one side of the field, and you can run that same sort of concept to the short side. It's not conventional thinking because, you know, there's not as much room over there.
Right.
But I wonder if they can just get it moving quicker, get it into the ball, get the ball into the hands of some of these playmakers. I mean, you have guys on this team who just really have not gotten an opportunity to make plays for you. A guy like Montana Lemonius Craig, you know, even RJ Snead, who we had such high expectations for. If the only time they're getting looks and getting the ball in their hands is on 3rd and 8 when you're trying to make a play, or, you know, when they do run that big swing to the outside and it's taking forever to get there, I feel like you're not allowing them to get into a rhythm. We hear a lot about wide or running backs getting into a rhythm. I feel like these wide receivers haven't had any semblance of a rhythm for 2 years now. So maybe they can tinker with some of that.
Yep, tough element there in terms of receivers. Final question here. Mike Sanford said in his introductory press conference as interim head coach, he expected to see a much better, much improved product in 13 days. Obviously, we're in game week. How confident are you that the Buffs will be much improved?
Again, I feel the same way about this as the defense. Improved? I think they can be. Mm-hmm. Much improved? I have a hard time believing it. Now, I hope I'm wrong. And I do think that between simplifying it and just vibes, getting just a reset, a clean slate. I've loved the videos I've seen of Mike Sanford and the energy he's bringing out there can help you. I think that there's no longer like a dark cloud sitting over this team. In fact, I would hope that they've kind of just forgotten what their record is and feel like they're getting a whole new start to their season right now. Mm-hmm. I think that could go a long way. I also think there's just a massive talent gap that they they have to make up. There's nothing you can do in 13 days to change that. So I think you're going to see them look a little more competent, and that could be enough to keep them in the game as long as they don't get, you know, run on for 300 yards.
We'll see. We'll talk a bit more about the game at the end of the show here. Real quick, though, shout out to Hassle Cattle. I haven't tried Hassle Cattle yet. I'm excited to get my hands on some of these. They have some of the best Wagyu beef that you can find in the country. They call it Blue Collar American Wagyu because it's top shelf but affordable. Try using code DMVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Head on over to hasslecattlecompany.com and secure the bag of beef. Remember, DMVR20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Let's pick some games, Ryan. There is only 5 Pac-12 games this weekend, 3 teams on bye. Stanford is playing Notre Dame, which is where we're going to start. Stanford traveling to Notre Dame. The Irish really haven't been impressive at all. Yet they are 17-point favorites over the Cardinal.
Whoa. Give me Stanford.
Yep.
Yeah, with the points there. So much of college to me comes down to just like, is your quarterback okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Stanford's is. He's I'm not as high on them as others, but he's definitely okay or better. And so I think he can do enough to keep them in a game. I mean, Cal went down to the wire with Notre Dame. Like, they're not impressive. So
I don't know if there's many teams that Notre Dame should be a 17-point favorite over. So, yes, I'm taking Stanford.
By the way, Stanford should have won this last weekend and had an unbelievable meltdown.
Yeah. I'm really impressive, honestly. 18 fourth quarter points from Oregon State in that football game. Next one we have Arizona. They got beat last week pretty badly. They're traveling to Washington. Another team has been really embarrassed the past couple weeks. Yet the Huskies, 14-point favorites. How do we feel about the Wildcats traveling to Washington?
I still can't quit Jaden DeLora.
Let's go.
He honestly hasn't even done that much for me, but I feel like he gives them a chance to win every game. Mm-hmm. So you're going to give me 14. The Husky magic has completely gone away and worn off. So I think he gives them a chance and they hang in there.
100%. Arizona just been a feisty competitive team. Didn't really get a chance last week as they got behind really early. I will take them also.
I also don't know if Penix can recover from throwing a Hail Mary 25 yards short of the end zone. Did you see that?
I did not see that one play specifically, but
this is just the very last play of the game. They have a chance to go to the end zone and like he can loads up and just throws this thing and it's just like bloop.
I mean, he made the Arizona State defense actually look pretty good. So, I mean, it's really come crashing down pretty quickly for them. This one's probably the headliner of the weekend. The number 7 USC Trojans traveling to Salt Lake City to play the number 20 Utah Utes. Utah is a 3.5-point favorite in this game. Give me your thoughts. I've got some spicy ones, I think.
My only thought is just I've seen this script play out before. USC starts to get a little bit of love. People are talking about, hey, if they go undefeated, they can make the college football playoff, and then Utah beats them. And so I think that's what happens here. The 3.5, I hate that hook.
Yes.
So if I'm betting on the spread, I think I would take the points, but I think Utah wins the game.
Really well said. I mean, that Utah stadium has really been just a trap for a lot of these college football playoff teams, as you said. I do think USC is pretty different, though. I would take the money line. I mean, I don't think you get much juice from it. It's probably, I don't know, 150-ish.
It's nice. I feel like the book wants you to do that, though.
They're just such a better team, I think, though.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I think you're right. I think you're right. They certainly have more talent. The coaching matchup is a tough one for me just because Kyle Whittingham is so good. But I just know I think something's going to go wrong.
Yep.
Utah's going to eliminate them. Then it's going to be like, oh, UCLA, they're the last Pac-12 undefeated, and then they'll lose to some stupid team.
Right. We've seen this song and dance before. This should be a fun game, though. Washington State traveling to Corvallis. They play the Beavers this weekend. Oregon State is a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams, I mean, pretty much outplaying expectations early on in the Pac-12 slate. Cam Ward really leading the Cougars to some impressive moments, some also not so impressive performances. Who do you have in this one?
Give me the Beavs. I feel like this should have a rivalry trophy.
Yeah.
Like Oregon State and Washington State just feels like it should be some sort of the battle of something. I don't know. They just feel so similar to me in certain ways.
The battle of the dam or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Give me the Beavs. I actually really like that team. They played weird. Do we know anything on their quarterback?
So last week they had Ben Gulbranson play. He played a bit the week before. He threw 2 picks. He was nice last week. Didn't throw any picks. So, I mean, you mentioned it.
I think Chance Nolan, is that his name? Is he hurt still?
Well, he was just awful. I think he just got benched.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. They had a hard time getting into those playmakers with this Gulbranson guy, and that worries me a little bit. But they're just pretty darn good in the trenches.
Yep, and speed on the outside. Let's talk about it, Ryan. Cal traveling to Folsom Field to play the Buffs. Again, Colorado 14.5-point dogs at home to a Cal team who has really, really struggled at points throughout the year. They do have some impressive wins, but man, 14.5.
I mean, I'll just tell you what's going to happen. Right now I'm going to say take the 14, lay the 14.5, bet on Cal. My biggest worry is the running back. How are they going to tackle him? I don't know. But then, come Saturday, I will be betting Buffs money line. And I feel like there's a chance the Buffs play like crazy inspired football. It's going to be almost a sellout, Jake. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how this keeps happening.
This is a white t-shirt game, by the way. Did you hear that?
No, I don't do that. I only wear black to Buffs games.
Love that.
Strict rule.
Should be rule of thumb. Yes.
But like last I had heard, and this was like over a week and a week and a half ago, they had 4,000 tickets left. Mm-hmm. So it's family weekend, all that stuff. But it's going to be a great crowd. You could see a world in which they play inspired for Mike Sanford. And I so dearly hope that happens. But when I just look at the running back, I'm just like, he's going to go for 300 yards.
Hopefully not. I mean, this team has just been so up and down, though. Cal has. They took it to Notre Dame in Notre Dame. And then they're in a dogfight with Arizona where they score like 35 points out of nowhere. They also went down to the wire with UNLV in week two. I honestly don't really know what to expect from this Cal team, especially given that the quarterback might not play. I mean, if I had to bet, I would bet he does play, but there is that element in there that he's still a little bit hurt. He obviously wasn't as mobile in that final game that we saw against Washington State a couple weeks ago. But Jaden, I mean, he had the big performance against Arizona. I'll throw this at you, though. They played UC Davis week one, 104 yards. He had 17 attempts. Against UNLV, only 52 yards. Against Notre Dame, only 33. And against Washington State, only 69.
Yeah, I mean, if you could, it's like my thought is if you can somehow find a way to bottle it up early to where they don't just realize, like, we don't have to call that many plays, then you have a shot. If you can somehow make them uncomfortable, then I think you have a shot in this game. But what I worry is just 6 yards, 8 yards, 14 yards, 24 right. yards, 6 yards. And then it makes life so easy on an offensive coordinator when they can do that, that I just have a hard time imagining the Buffs keeping it close with anyone if they can't stop the run early. I'll keep my fingers crossed. Maybe that defensive line can make some plays at the line because it really hasn't been their fault that much. Mm-hmm. It's been the guys behind them, but I got to see it first.
I'm going to take the Buffs plus the points.
Like it.
I think that with Stanford, with this new energy, that's been the key word the past 2 weeks, by the way, is energy. I mean, it seems that there's a completely different vibe around this team right now. I'm kind of buying in. I think that we'll start to see some more just identity on offense. I hope they stick with the run game more, especially, you know, not so much in the first half, but when they come out in the second half, stick with the run game, especially if you're within that 14-point number, stick in the game plan. And I definitely think that you can cover this game.
I got to say this. If they look decent on offense, something you haven't been able to say for 2 years, it is going to be just an absolute stagger in the Carl Durrell era. Not that it was standing up anyway.
Right.
But, you know, Darren Cheverini gets scapegoated. This season starts and not much changes. And that's when you start looking, okay, what's the common denominator here? And there at least have been theories that Carl was really putting his stamp on the offense more than either offensive coordinator wanted. And if they just go out there and play well, it is just going to be, it's going to make that hire look even worse.
Yeah.
But it's at least going to give you some hope for, you know, what this team could be in the future.
Absolutely. Well, maybe later on this season too.
Yeah. I mean, the futures could be next week.
Good point. Good point. Thank you guys all for joining us today. That's going to do it for this show, a little bit shorter, but we will have the full preview on Friday's pod. We'll see you on Saturday at Folsom Field.
Amen. Always.
Let's go Buffs.
Let's go Buffs.